We're setting the stage for very, very busy week three across the board, and it gets going with the Jets and the Cleveland Browns on Thursday Night Football. This guy joined us right before the start of the year. Did a good job. I wanted him back. Check him out. He's part of the Good Morning Football crew. He organizes that show. He does some great work for the NFL Network. Former member of the Detroit Lions scouting department, my good pal, Matt Hamilton. Matty, my boy, how are you, my friend?
JJ, it's good to be back, man. Appreciate you having me on.
Matt, and I know you wanted to come back and gloat because I was not overly high on Jacksonville. And 2 weeks into the year, Jacksonville looks like the team to beat in the AFC. And Matt, I knew their defense was good. I needed to see the sort of game I saw on Sunday from Blake Bortles. And I guess my first one before we get to the Jets and the Giants is this. Can that sort of performance from Blake Bortles be sustainable over 16 games and be sustainable throughout January in the postseason?
I mean, listen, we're going to see our ups and downs from Blake Bortles, but I think what you saw the other day that is sustainable, they ran a lot more spread sets. They spread out that Patriot defense, and as crazy as it sounds, not having Leonard Fournette in there was a little bit of a blessing to put a little bit more on Blake Bortles, design this offense around what Blake Bortles is comfortable doing. When you go back to college at UCF, it was a lot of spread stuff. It wasn't this eye formation under center, drop back passing. And I think seeing them structure the offense in that way, you know, you hope when Leonard Fournette comes back, you keep seeing those spread sets a little bit. They've been much more successful running out of the gun, too. They're averaging 7 yards a carry out of the gun, 3 yards a carry when they're under center. Bortles is a better passer. There's more threats in that run game and misdirection in that run game when they do it that way. I think if they evaluate what we saw on Sunday and what worked, I think we're going to see that offense be a little bit more open going forward, and we're going to see a little bit more of that Bortles. It was a lot of easy completions they created for him. It wasn't, you know, when you really look at it, it wasn't, you know, him picking apart this Patriot defense. It was a lot of drag routes, a lot of crossing routes, a lot of things that made it easy for him, and then they took their shots downfield.
All right, Matty, let's get to this Thursday night game where you got the Jets taking on the Cleveland Browns. Obviously, the Jet fan was brought back to earth a little bit, losing week two to the Miami Dolphins. It was your classic letdown spot. Short week, coming off the dominant effort and the dominant performance. But now I look at week three, and I'm sorry, Matt, I can't use the short week, Thursday night game on the road excuse when you look the way that you did in the first half. Now, if I see a game in which Sam Darnold looks like a rookie quarterback and he has one of those deer in the headlights moments, I can live with it. But I need to see this Jet defense, which didn't do the job in the first half against Miami, show up in a big way. And I got to be honest with you, Matt, I'm not sold that they have their right coach in Todd Bowles. I think the jury's out on whether or not Todd Bowles is going to be here for the foreseeable future. I look at this as a big game for him, showing the fan base, showing somebody like me that you can have your team prepared and ready to go here on a short week on the road.
I agree, and especially, you know, the Browns aren't the same Browns team we've seen, but especially against the Browns, you got to at least show up. You can't, as you say, you can't show up the way you showed up in the first half against the Dolphins. You know, I think week one was a dangerous thing for this team because it got the fan base riled up. It set some unrealistic expectations. Now things are kind of back down to earth. And don't tell your Dolphins short. They played a heck of a game, too. But you got to show up against the Browns. The defense, you're right. I think the biggest key to this game, they have to be able to run the football. You can't have Darnold throwing 40-plus times again. What was successful against the Lions, where they ran all over them, and the passing game was structured off the running game. You got to do that again for the young quarterback in order to put him in a position to succeed.
All right, Matty, let's get to the loaded question around town. And a lot of Giant fans very down in the dumps after the 0-2 start. And when you sign Nate Solder, when you give Beckham the big money, when you draft Saquon Barkley at 2, you didn't expect to see same old from the offense. And I'm sorry, it's one thing to get dominated by Jacksonville, who's a top 5 defense in the league. Dallas has some pass rushers. Dallas has talent on defense, but that's a middle-of-the-pack type defense, and they embarrassed the Giants. I mean, the corner blitz schemes, attacking them left and right, Eli looking like a deer in the headlights. First things first here, Matt. Is this Giant offense, is this Giant season salvageable after what you've seen for the first two games? I know it's two games. I know there's still a long way to go, but, I mean, this is deja vu all over again. Do you see the Giants turning their season around?
It's going to be a long road to make it happen. That offensive line has just been a complete disaster so far. And you know what? Not to make excuses, but you bring in four new starters and you're moving Eric Flowers over. It's a lot to ask for when you don't have as much practice time as you used to. There hasn't been time for that unit to gel, and they've looked lost. The one thing that's a little bit of a saving grace, those NFC teams are beating up on each other, which will keep them around for a little bit, but they got to turn this thing around now against a Texans team that's looked every bit as lost. You got to find a way to come up with a win, especially when you have that much talent. You know, we've seen teams with bad offensive line that have great talent at the skill positions that have been able to make it work. You know, we saw the Packers go 15-1 one year with a terrible offensive line and Aaron Rodgers back there. And they didn't have a Saquon, they didn't have an Odell, and they made that work. You got to find a way to make this thing work when you have that much talent, and it's been embarrassing so far.
Spend a couple minutes, my good pal, Matt Hamilton, over at the NFL Network. And, Matt, you bring up an interesting point because, listen, I know the offensive line is going to be the number one reason for why this Giant team has struggled so much. But ultimately, at the end of the day, there's got to be some responsibility on the quarterback in Eli Manning. And I look around town, and basically it seems like some are trying to pull every excuse in the book for why this guy has not played well over the last 3 years. And I know he's had a great Giant career. I know he's won two Super Bowls. I know he's probably, when it's all said and done, going to end up in Canton, Ohio as a Pro Football Hall of Famer. But I look around the league, Matt, I don't think Eli Manning at this stage in the game is a top 20 quarterback. And I'm sorry, when you got the weapons that you have on this Giant team, he cannot continue to play as poorly as he has. And I have to wonder, how much good football, honestly, Matt, does Eli Manning have left in him?
Yeah, and this is what the last time I was on, when we talked in the preseason, you know, I was in favor of the Giants drafting a quarterback at that number two spot. And I think, you know, I don't want to speak too soon. I think Saquon's a really good player, but I think you're starting to see it now. They needed to start planning for the future of this team, and as good as Saquon is, he's not going to be enough to solve the problems that they have. And this is going to be a rebuild. It's going to take some time to turn this thing around, I think. And, you know, when you have guys on the board like a Sam Darnold, when you have guys on the board like a Josh Rosen, those guys don't come around very often. And let's say the Giants are picking in that spot again this year. I don't know that you have that guy in this year's draft class, which made it so important for them to find that quarterback this year. And I think they did drop the ball by not selecting that guy.
Matty, couple of 2-0 teams. I think there are like 5 or 6 2-0 teams. I went through it the other day. But when you go through all of them, who's the biggest surprise in your opinion?
I mean, it's got to be Tampa. When you look at what they've been able to do with Ryan Fitzpatrick, yeah, I honestly thought this offseason they got a lot better. But with what happened with Jameis Winston, it was hard to expect much from them coming into this year. And what Ryan Fitzpatrick's been able to do, I mean, he's been the best quarterback in the league so far through 2 weeks, and I don't think anybody saw that coming.
Yeah, and it's crazy. I mean, he's dressing with the beard and the chain, and it's amazing, Matt, how that team has rallied around him. And moving forward now, if you're Tampa, you got a Monday night game coming up against Pittsburgh. The Steelers have been terrible. They have all sorts of dysfunction going on around that team. If Fitzpatrick were to win that game in primetime on Monday night, I mean, if you're Dirk Cutter, how in the world would you turn the reins back over to Jameis Winston until you see Fitzpatrick struggle?
You can't. And even if they lose that game against a Steelers team that's been underperforming, you still have to stick with him, in my opinion. He's been that good. And you evaluate it week to week from there. I think he's earned the right to be the starting quarterback going forward, especially given the immaturity that we've seen from Jameis. You can't trust handing the reins over to that guy until you see the wheels start to come off with Fitzpatrick a little bit. You got to roll with, especially, as you said, with how this team has rallied around him and responded to him on both sides of the ball.
Matt Hamilton over at the NFL Network. And, Maddie, full disclosure, I have a wagering ticket in my pocket. I'm pulling it out right now. Mike Fliegelman is my witness. And I have a couple of shekels down, legally, of course, on the Baltimore Ravens to win the AFC North. And one of the main reasons why I like that wager is because I was down on the Steelers coming into the year. Defense not the same without Shazier. They're dealing with this Le'Veon Bell nightmare. Now, I don't expect them to continue to look as bad as they have, but I do think that they're very vulnerable. Do you look at the AFC North right now and say it's wide open between the Ravens, the Bengals, and the Steelers, or do you still think at the end of the day the Steelers are the team to beat?
I do think it's wide open right now. I think the Steelers are the most talented team in that division still. But as you said, there's a lot of dysfunction there, and the Shazier factor is a serious thing for this team. They were a top-five defense with him last year. Since he's gone out, going back to last year, that defense has kind of fallen apart. And I think you look at that Ravens team, that defense is incredible. They didn't show up in the first half last week against the Bengals, but they totally outplayed them in the second half. This is a huge week for them against the Broncos. I think we're really going to find out what type of team this is this week. But that offense has retooled with a lot of talent now. The offensive line is finally healthy. A lot of it's going to be on Flacco's shoulders, and we know how that goes. We're going to see a lot of good, a lot of bad. And then you look at the Bengals have been excellent so far. I don't think they're going to be able to sustain it long-term going forward. I think they're going to start to slip back a little bit. I really do. If I were to pick right now, I would say the Ravens are my favorite in that division, even with as awful as they looked coming out of the gates last Thursday night.
All right, Maddie, before we let you go, week three coming up, what matchup out of all of them are you looking forward to the most?
I'm looking forward to seeing Saints-Falcons. I think every time we get that matchup, it's exciting. Both teams haven't quite looked right yet, but, you know, they're both sitting there at 1-1. The winner of that game is going to have the inside track to a in a tough NFC South. As good as the Buccaneers have been, I think the Buccaneers are going to have a shot at the playoffs. I think we start to see them slip a little bit, too, at some point in time. But, you know, coming into the year, the Saints are one of my favorites to go to the Super Bowl. If you're a Super Bowl, they haven't looked right at all, even, you know, pulling out that win against the Browns in an ugly, ugly game. This is the get-right game for them. If you're a real Super Bowl contender, you go into Atlanta and you make a statement this week. I'm looking for them to do that.
Matt Hamilton of the NFL Network. Matt, outstanding stuff as always. And maybe, you know, 8 or 9 weeks down the road, I'll be, you know, drinking that Blake Bortles Kool-Aid. You never know, my man. You never know. Anything can happen. And full disclosure, Matty, I did have a wager on the Jaguars to beat the Patriots on Sunday. So you would have been proud of me.
I am proud of you. You're listening.
I don't know if I'm going that far. I was a believer in the Jaguar defense. Maybe not so much Blake Bortles. But, hey, I'm always willing to maybe open my eyes and see what this season will bring us. Matt, good stuff. We'll chat soon, all right?
Thanks for having me, JJ. Appreciate it.
You got a far too kind. Matt Hamilton over at the NFL Network. And Matt was telling me back in July and August, JJ, sleeping on Jacksonville. Better than you think. So far, so good.